Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Rolling here. Good morning, everybody. Good to see each of you folk on the screen here. I'm glad we can get together as family and to seek the face of the Lord this morning, to get to know Him better, not just in our intellect, but in our spirits. So let's take a minute. Let's stretch first. Stretch the body. You can lift your hands and praise. Let's get our spirits wide open and ready to go. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to start the day with You and with brothers and sisters with a similar heart, Lord, to get to know You better. And we thank You for Your word, Lord. It is truly a vehicle through which You make Yourself real to us. And Holy Spirit, we know You inspired this book many years ago. And we pray that You would unfold it into our hearts. Lord, I pray You would just emphasize to each of us that part of this chapter that You really are addressing to us personally. So, Lord, we just come with an open heart, with an expectant heart to meet You. And again, thank You, Lord, that You are with us in this time together. And it's in Your name we ask You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah. They broke down the pillars in pieces. They cut down the ashram. They pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin, as well as in Ephraim and Manasseh, until they had destroyed them all. Then all the sons of Israel returned to their cities, each to his possession. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites by their divisions, each according to his service, both the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister and give thanks and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. He also appointed the king's portion of his goods for the burnt offerings, namely for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, and for the new moons, and for the fixed festivals, as it's written in the law of the Lord. Also, he commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. And as soon as the order spread, the sons of Israel provided in abundance the first fruits of grain, new wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of all. And the sons of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of the oxen and sheep, and the tithe of the sacred gifts, which are consecrated to the Lord their God, and they placed them in heaps. In the third month, they began to make the heaps and finished them by the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the rulers came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, said to him, "Since the contributions began to be brought into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat with plenty left over, for the Lord has blessed his people. and this great quantity is left over. Then Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. And they faithfully brought in the contributions and the tithes and the consecrated things. And Kaniah, the Levite, was the officer in charge of them, and his brother Shammai was second. And Jeiel and Azariah, Nahath, Ashahel, Jeremoth, Josabad, Eliah, Ishamach, all these names are interesting, Mahath, and Benaiah were overseers under the authority of Coniah and Shammai, his brother, by the appointment of King Hezekiah, and Azariah was the chief officer of the house of God. And Kor, the son of Emma the Levite, the keeper of the eastern gate, was over the freewill offerings of God to apportion the contributions for the Lord and the most holy things. And under his authority were Eden, Mimiaman, Jeshua, Shemaiah, Amariah, Shachananah, and the cities of priests to distribute faithfully their portions to their brothers by divisions, whether great or small, without regard to their genealogy enrollment. To the males from 30 years old and upward, everyone who entered the house of the Lord for his daily obligations, for their work and their duties according to their divisions, as well as the priests who were enrolled genealogically according to their fathers' households, and the Levites from 20 years old and upwards by their duties and their divisions. And the genealogical enrollment included all their little children, their wives, their sons, and their daughters for the whole assembly, for they consecrated themselves faithfully in holiness. Also for the sons of Aaron, the priests were in the pasture lands of their cities, or in each and every city, there were men who were designated by name to distribute portions to every male among the priests and to everyone genealogically enrolled among the Levites. And thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. And every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in law and commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Okay, amen. Okay, well, some of those names are really interesting to try to pronounce here. But let's just get to the meat of this. I think as we look at Hezekiah, we see almost a reflection of Uzziah. The last soap I was doing was with King Uzziah. And what's very interesting, if you study Uzziah's life and you put it right next to Hezekiah, almost identical things are talked about them. So I just want to begin to unfold again. Three of the things that we talked about with Uzziah, I'm going to repeat them again because they applied to Hezekiah as well. And the three things are, again, number one, it's really important for the people back then, but not only back then, but for us to seek the Lord. Central, so important that we seek the Lord. Number two, not only do we seek the Lord, but we seek the Lord with a pure and a holy heart to seek to do what's right. Again, God required that of the Israelites in the Old Testament. The Lord required that in the New. And that's really where we need to go as well today, to be able to seek to be obedient, to do what's right in God's sight. And then the last thing we're going to look at, the idea is if we seek him with our whole heart, if we seek to obey him, then God says, I will prosper you and I'll bless you. And the blessing is not just to hold it within ourselves, but as he said to Abraham, I'll bless you so you can become a blessing to others. So let's look at those points. So number one, I want us to look at the idea of seeking the Lord. So look at Second Chronicles 31, and the last statement there, verse 21. It says, "And every work which he began, Hezekiah began in the service of the house of God, in law and in commandment." Here it is, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. So when we look at Hezekiah, we're told very clearly here, he sought the Lord, but it's very clear he didn't do it casually. He didn't do it lukewarm. He did it with all of his heart. He wasn't playing games with God. He made business with God. It says he sought the Lord with all of his heart. There's an interesting verse here in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 2. And it says this. And he, the Spirit, came upon this Azariah. And he went out to meet Azza, that's a king. And here's what God said to Azza through the Holy Spirit. "Listen to me, Azza, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. He's with you when you're with him. But here is the verse I want to lift up. And if you seek him," okay, "if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." But there's the central thing. If you seek him, if you seek God, he will let you find him. There's some other verses that bear this out. If you look at Jeremiah 29:13, here's what God says. Many times I think the Lord repeats himself in different parts of the Bible, because he's trying to drive home a point. And if he repeats it again and again, it means like what I'm saying is important, and there's an exclamation mark. So Jeremiah 29:13, it says this, "You will seek me," and I think he's saying that, Jeremiah is saying it to the people of Israel, but God's saying that to you and I as well. "If you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me," here it is, "with all of your heart." God's very clear to the human race. He said, if you seek me out, if you really seek me out, you're going to find me, and I'll make myself known to you. So that's a statement that God addresses to each and every one of us here on the screen. I think the Lord is saying, if you really mean business, I will make myself real to you. If you're just a casual observer, if you're an acquaintance of God, if you seek him, you know, only when there's emergencies and you know, you're hot, you're cold, you're in and out, all that kind of stuff. God never says, I'll make myself real to you. But he says, if you mean business with me, if you determinedly and desperately want to really encounter me, the living God, I will make myself real to you. He'll make himself real to you when we seek with all our hearts. I think of some people that demonstrate that. Psalm 42. There's a fellow by the name, one of the sons of Korah, and here is his statement. "As the deer pants for the water brooks." If you've ever seen a deer, I mean, it may be being chased by some other animal. It's panting. I mean, and it wants water. I mean, it's thirsty, super thirsty. And I think this son of Korah is saying, when you're thirsty, "as a deer pants for the water brook, my soul pants for thee, O God." So have we been panting for God? Are we on the search to find him? Listen to what he says further. He says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then he says this, when shall I come and appear before God? In other words, he's saying, God, I am hungry. I'm thirsty. I've got to make a connection with you. I've got to know you. David says something very similar in Psalm 63:1. Excuse me. He says this, O God, thou art my God. I seek thee earnestly. And I'd underline the word earnestly. That's like what we've been hearing, with my whole heart. I mean business, Lord. I really, 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 really want to encounter you. I'll seek thee earnestly, he says. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee. Have you ever yearned for God? Yearning meaning, God, I've got to make a connection with you. I want you to be real. I don't want you just to be real to the people in the Bible. You know, we've heard God's real to Abraham. God's real to Moses and David. And he's real to Paul. I think we got to get to the point and say, Lord, I want to know you the way they know you. And I'm not playing games with you, Lord. He said, my soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. So he is hungry to encounter God. I think of another person. I think of Moses. I think the deepest cry to me in the entire Bible is the cry that God puts in the heart of Moses. And Moses, at one point, this is even after he gets the Ten Commandments. You think that'd be enough. But he gets to beyond that, as he's more in the presence of God on this mountain, he cries out at one point, God, show me your glory. In other words, he's saying, God, pull the curtain away. I want a direct encounter with you, the living God. And God says, basically, yeah, I'm going to show up. But if I showed you the whole of who I am, you would be fried in this human body. But you can hear the cry. Let me just give you one other person that meant business with God. And that's the Apostle Paul. And if you look at Philippians, and I think I read this last week, you would just see in Philippians 3 that Paul says, that I might know him. But I think to get the most out of Bible study, sometimes we need to go to the original language, because it gives you the subtle nuances that are hidden within the word know. So if you would really look at that word and unpack it in Greek, it would be translated like this. This is the cry of Paul. For my determined purpose is, my determined purpose. So the question I think all of us have to ask, what is your determined purpose today? What do you want? What do I want more than anything else on this planet? And I want you to hear what Paul's determined purpose was. And here it is. For my determined purpose is that as I may know him, that's referring to Jesus, that I may, here it is, progressively, it's a process, deeper and deeper, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Christ, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Paul said, I've seen Jesus, but the more I see Jesus, the more I want to see Jesus. And he's basically saying, God, I understand your person, but I want to know you even more and more and more and more and more and more. So I think very clearly, the Lord is saying, we've got to seek him with a whole heart. I think of Jesus in the New Testament when he talks about prayer. He said, ask. And he says, don't just ask. He says, then seek. And then he says, it's not enough just to ask and seek. He says, knock. Don't give up. Pursue me in prayer. Pursue who I am. So I'd just like you to see, too, when we looked at Asa, one of these past kings, if you look at 2 Chronicles, And let me get it here. Verse 15. It says this. The Lord basically is working in Asa's life. And it was a hard time in Israel. Listen to this. 15:3. And for many days, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel. It's interesting. Israel gets serious about God. They pursue him when the hard times come. And here's the danger, I think, is many times we pursue God. The crisis is here. Oh, man, I seek you with everything. The crisis goes, and we go back into autopilot. But that's not what's going to get us near the Lord. So it says here, but in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel. They sought him, and he let them find him. 5. And in those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. And Asa basically, because of the crisis, does this. This is 2 Chronicles 15:12. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers. It's here it is, with all their heart and soul. And notice what Asa does. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel, he said, should be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. Moreover, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with horns. All Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and had sought him earnestly, and he let them find him. So there it is. They sought him with their whole heart, and God says, I look at the heart. You know, we could do all the stuff on the outside. You know, we can raise our hands, we can shout, holler, do whatever. That's nice, but God says, what I really look at is not the outward action. I'm looking at the heart. Are you really, really seeking me? And that's the challenge I really see very clear here in these scriptures. God is saying, you'll find me to the degree you seek me sincerely. So if you want an encounter with the living supernatural God, if you want him to become real to you the way he was real to these Bible characters, then we got to seek him with everything in us and say, God, I've got to know you, and I mean business, and it's not a one-time deal. I'm going to keep pursuing you over and over and over till I find you, or better yet, not I find you, but you find me and you show up. So that's number one. So important to seek the Lord. Number two, we need to seek the Lord with the right heart. We can seek him, but if there's junk in our hearts, if there's sin in our lives, then it's going to short circuit the pursuit, because God cannot bless a sinful heart, nor can he make himself real to somebody that is basically doing their own thing. So this leads to the second point, is we need to be able to do what's right in his sight. So again, 2 Chronicles 31, look at verse 20. And it says, thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was right and true before his God. He did what was right and what was true. He's done amazing. Pop back, if you would, with me to 29. Excuse me, 29. And you'll see that he did some pretty neat things. Look at 29:2. Hezekiah did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. It says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. So here he is. He begins to repair the house that's falling apart. It says he brought in the priests and the Levites. He gathered them into the square of the east. Then he said to them, listen to me, O Levites, consecrate yourselves now. Consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out of the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done all evil in the sight of the Lord. They've forsaken him. They've turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord. They have also shut the doors of the porch. They put out the lamps. They have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings. Basically, he's saying the house of God, where God's to be worshipped, is kind of it's a mess. All kind of junk is in it. It's not a good picture at all. And Hezekiah does something about it. If you look at 29:16, so the priest went in to the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And every unclean thing which they found in the temple of the Lord, they brought out to the court of the house of the Lord. Then the Levites carried it to the Kidron Valley. So Hezekiah basically says, okay, we're going to clean the house of the Lord. Anything that's evil, we're going to basically remove it. We see some other things. Not only did he do that, if you look at verse 27, there were supposed to be burnt offerings that were being offered to God every day. That wasn't happening. Verse 27, then Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord also began with the trumpets. So again, he reestablished, not only does he clean the house up of the Lord, he establishes these sacrifices that were supposed to be able to be going on. If you read chapter 30, he reestablishes the Passover feast, which Israel was supposed to be doing right along the way, and it hadn't happened for many, many years. And he brings that back, that he's supposed to do it. And then if you look at 31:1, not only does he deal with the house of the Lord, now he begins to deal with the surrounding area where we begin today, 31:1. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah. What did they do? They're gone all over the area in the different cities. They broke down the pillars in pieces. They cut down the asherim. They pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin, as well as in Ephraim and Manasseh, until they had destroyed them all. Then all the sons of Israel returned to their cities, each to their possessions. They pulled down all these foreign idols and gods. So basically, Hezekiah says, we're going to clean the temple up. We're going to reestablish the offerings. We're going to bring back Passover. And by the way, all these false places of worship, we're wiping them out. I mean, he is a man with a purpose. And basically, he's saying, we're going to do what's right in the sight of God, period. Now, he goes a little bit further. We see that he prepares the offerings. But I want you to see why he does all this. 31:3. He also appointed the king's portion of his goods for the burnt offering. So he's doing his part. The people are to bring the burnt offerings, but he says, I'm going to give my part as well as the king. Namely, for the morning and the evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, for the new moons, and for the fixed festivals. And here it is, as it is written in the law of the Lord. So Hezekiah is saying, guess what? That's what it says in the Bible, in the book, and I'm going to do what it says in the Word of God. Very clear. If you look at verse 6, he commands the people to do something else they're supposed to do, tithe. 6, and the sons of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in, here it is, the tithe of the oxen and the sheep, the tithe of the sacred gifts, which were consecrated to the Lord their God, and they placed them in heaps. So he reestablishes the tithe, which is supposed to be doing. If you look at verse 15, the people are now going to distribute different portions to the priests. So the priests have something to eat and to be able to feed on. He reestablishes that the priests are going to be able to be taken care of. These priests are doing what God asked them to do. Look at verse 18. And the genealogical enrollment included all their little children, their wives, their sons, their daughters, and for the whole assembly. And here is the point. For they consecrated, here's the priest, they consecrated themselves faithfully in holiness. Why? Because the king got his act together and he's doing what he was told to do. And now they're living in accordance with what God asks. And if we look at verse 21, in every work which he began in the service of the house of God, here it says, in law, in commandment. So he looked at the law. He says, this is what I see in the book and what I see in God's law. I am going to do it and obey it. So it's very, very important that we don't just hear the law, but we put it into action. I want to give you one other king that meant business with the Lord and did things faithfully. You're going to look at him in a little bit, but I give you a heads up. In 2 Chronicles in 34, we're told that in verse 21, King Hosea, great king, there was a report to him that the book of the law had been found. It had been in the temple. Literally, I don't know how they did it, but they lost the scriptures. Well, somebody finds it. They bring the scriptures to the king, and the king says, you gotta be kidding. I mean, what's happened? How could we have lost the scriptures? And the king is very, very, very upset and concerned about this. And if you look at verse 21, here's what Josiah does. It says, go inquire the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book which has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord, which is poured out on us because our fathers have not observed, there it is, they have not observed the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in it. And then he goes on a little bit further in 29. Notice what he does. The law is found. He says, wow, 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 wow. We dropped the ball. But look at how he addresses this. This is in 34:29. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. So he gets his key leadership, but not just the key leadership. 30, and the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So the whole nation now is standing before the temple. Josiah is going to make a point. So he's got the leaders. He's got the whole group of his people. He says the priests, the Levites, and all the people from the greatest to the least. What did he do? He's got everybody there, and listen to what he does. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place, made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant written in this book. Moreover, he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand with him. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. So think about that. talking about saying, hey, we got to do what's right. We see some of these kings get it right. We see Hezekiah did it right. Josiah did it right. So it's important, so important about the law. Let me just give you one more thing before we go to the last point. It's interesting about the king. What's the king to do as a leader? And what's very interesting, way back in the days of Moses, God told Moses that the king was to do something interesting. Get this. This is in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18. Now it shall come about when the king sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. So the king literally is to copy the scriptures. All this Old Testament law, back it to that point, the king is to write it down with his own hand, okay? And it says this in 19, and it shall be with him. He shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all, not some, all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen. So God was very clear. Every king was to get a copy of the law, write it out, study it, meditate on it, do it, and set the example for the nation. So this basically applies to us. It's not just for the people back there in the Old Testament. God wants us to seek him with everything in us, but he wants us to seek him with a heart that says, Lord, I want to do what you've asked me to do. Lord, I want to obey you. I want to put your word into action. I don't want to just say it with my mouth. Lord, I want to do it with my deeds. And as we've said many, many times, and I'll say it again, we obey God not because he's some kind of a taskmaster with a whip and he's a king and says, you will bow and you will do what I tell you to do. I mean, he has a right as a king to do that. We're the subjects. We don't tell him what to do, but he tells us what to do. But he doesn't want us to serve him like a slave. He wants us to serve him as a child of his. Meaning, I serve him not because I have to, but because I want to. Because he's a good king and because he loves us. And he proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt by sending Jesus to come, live, and die for us. So we just seek God with our whole heart. We're to do what's right. And God says this. And God always keeps his promises. God says this clearly. If you seek me with all your heart, you mean business. You really want to know me. You really want to walk with me. You really want to obey me and put into action what I've said. He says, then guess what? I will seek to prosper you and make your life abundant. Not problem free. We're in a fallen world. We're going to have tribulation and trials to the day we die, but we can have a meaningful, full life, as Jesus said, a life that's abundant. As David said in Psalm 23, that our cup runs over, but it's, again, it's conditional. It's conditional that we seek him with our whole hearts and we're willing to obey. So if you look at this last point, he wants to prosper us. Again, look at 2 Chronicles. We're back here again, 31, our scripture. Notice what it said here. In every work which he began, Hezekiah, in the service of the house of God, in the law and commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart. And what's the end result? And he prospered. And he prospered. But not only did he prosper, he's a good king. And because he led the people correctly, the people prospered. Look at verse 10. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, said to him, since the contributions began to be brought into the house of the Lord, We've had enough to eat with plenty left over, for the Lord has blessed his people. Why did he bless his people? Because his people were walking with him and they were seeking to obey him. That's where it's at. It's so important that we do that. Let me just close with a scripture here. We've looked at it in the past as Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is way back in the days of Moses before the kings show up. But the Lord said this to the people of Israel back then. And I believe the Lord said that to the people right here in Hezekiah's day. And I believe the Lord is saying to you and I today. And here's the words. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. God saying this, see, I've set before you, before Egypt's today, I've set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. And then I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. God is saying clear as he could make it, seek me, obey me, I'll bless you. He's saying, but if you choose to turn your back on me, if you choose to do your own thing, go your own way, just realize I can't bless you. And if I don't bless you, the opposite of a blessing is you're going to be cursed. And then he basically says these challenging words at the end to them. And I think God's saying this to us. Verse 19 of chapter 30 in Deuteronomy. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I set before you life and death. God's saying, I made it clear. Here's how you have life. Here's how you'll experience death. He said, I've set before you the blessing. This is how to be blessing, but I'll also show you where the curse comes. And then he says this, and I love this, but God honors your will and my will, our free will. We have to make a decision. And he closes with this. So God says to us, so choose life. Choose life in order that you may live and your descendants by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, holding fast to them. For this is your life and the length of your days. God pleads with the human race, choose life, seek me with your whole heart, walk with me, love me, seek to please me, I'll bless you. But God says, the bottom line, the ball is in your court. I've done everything I can to do this, to make it a reality. I want this with all my heart, but I leave it with you. It's your choice how close you want to be with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lessons as we read the different kings. Some kings are good kings, some are bad kings. But Lord, we thank you for the example of Hezekiah and Josiah. They didn't play games. They sought you with their whole heart. And because they sought you with their whole heart, Lord, they wanted to know what was right, and they did it. And you bless them. So I just pray for each of us on the screen, Lord. Would you give us a heart that's not half-hearted, that's not lukewarm, that's not casual. But Lord, put in us a hunger and a thirsting to know not just about you, but to know you. To know you like the people in the Bible knew you in a personal, intimate way. Lord, just stir up that hunger within us. To seek your face. And thank you, Lord. As we do that, I know that you put a desire in us to want to please you. And that when you speak, that we'd want to do what you ask us to do. And Father, we thank you that you want to bless your people. As you gave the benediction from Aaron, that you want to bless us. that you want your face to shine upon us and to be gracious to us. So, Lord, help us to receive the blessing. And, Father, help us to pass the blessing along, Lord, in our marriages, with our kids, Lord, to pass it on with our brothers and sisters at Fusion. Lord, to pass it on where we work, where we live. And we thank you. Just thank you for who you are, Lord. And we just pray, Jesus, in your strong and holy name. Amen. 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 Folks, have a great day and be a Hezekiah. Amen.